October 5th, verse number 4, Ujjval Nilamani. Tatra vibhavesh va valambana asmin alambana prokta krishna stasya chavalava. So now he's in this 15 chapters of Ujjval Nilamani. The first 8 chapters deal with the first aspect, the foundation of ras, madhur ras, or any ras, but here we're focusing on Madhurya Ras. So the foundation, of course, is the players, the key players, this female and male actor, the Nayaka and Nayaka, hero and heroine, Radha and Krishna. So 8 chapters will describe Krishna and Radha and the gopis, because these are the main players, and then they move in different leelas and exchange different feelings. So to produce this extraordinary, astonishing wonderment is defined in so many ways. What is the definition of ras, madhura ras? Astonishment is one key element. It must be astonishing. And it must be completely astonishing and new and fresh and amazing and create a wonderful experience. Any ras, whether it's sakya or vatsalya or madhurya. So vibhav, 8 chapters, and then the remaining 7 chapters are anubhav and sattvic bhav and sanchari bhav and stahi bhav. So now he's introducing the terms. He says, among the vibhavas, the alambanas are described. So vibhav, there's 2 aspects of vibhav, alamban, and vibhav, udipan. So vibhav means the factors, the exciting factors. So when it's vibhav alambanam, alambanan, alamban means the foundation, the starting point, the basis by which feelings can be, the basis or foundation in whom feelings get excited. So in this case, it's Radha and Krishna, the gopis, Radha and Krishna. So the vibhav are the persons, alamban is the foundation. There's the hero and the heroine, Premashraya Radha and Premvishraya Krishna. So then, these are the exciting persons. Radharani excites Krishna, Krishna excites Radharani, and vice versa. So this is the vibhav aspect. And then, the next aspect of vibhav is alamban, and this is the exciting factors, not exciting persons, but exciting factors. Like the full moon rise tonight, to be an interesting coincidence. This is a big, big Udipan vibhav, because this is the Rasa Purnima of the Rasa dance, the Maharas dance that's described in the Rasa Panchadhyaya. So we're just discussing this Ujjval Nilamani verse by verse. So the first 8 chapters describe the hero and the heroine. How do they think? How do they feel? How do they walk? How do they exchange? What are the moods? What are the moods and attitudes? So many. Rupa Goswami is going to take us by the hand into the heart of Radharani, into the heart of Krishna, and into the heart of the gopis, and assorted supporting characters and actors and actresses, the servants and the spies and the messengers, all these aspects. So 15 chapters of this Ujjval Nilamani, 8 chapters are about Radha and Krishna and the gopis, and 7 balanced chapters are about the different kinds of feelings that rise and fall and move them and influence them and create different feelings and responses in them. So we're starting with vibhav, and the vibhav is explained here. He says that vibhav means there's the hero and heroine. That's vibhav alamban. Alamban is a word that means the ground zero, the foundation, the basis. Then from there everything happens, because if there's no hero, no heroine, nothing out. Where's the love story? So they have a love. Krishna's every day, every moment is a love story, endless, eternal, blissful love story, and we can all be in that. It's not a story. It's nitya lila. It's eternal fact. This is a story. We're living a story. Storybook friends. And we're one chapter in the storybook. And that's why they say his story, many, many stories together become his story. But here there's no history because there's eternal present. Eternal present, yet there's time. Yet there's past. Eternal present, yet there's future. How to figure that out? You can't. It's achintya. Achintya tattva means inconceivable, unfathomable, incomprehensible truth. Fact. As it is. So now he's introducing the characters. So he says, among the Vibhavas, Alambans. Alambans are Krishna and the women dear to him. Primarily, of course, Radharani. So now begins with, he quotes a verse of Purnamasi giving a blessing to Radharani. So as the nature of the Goswami books, especially Rupa Goswami Pad, oftentimes the verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Ujjwala Nilamani or even Lalita Madhava, they don't seem to be linked together. There's a linking, there's a system, but sometimes the connections aren't there or the explanations are unclear. And knowing that he was in that high state of consciousness, although he was writing all his Rasa Shastra, when you're writing all about Ras, all these Rasa books that Stavamala, the Rupa Goswami wrote, they're just associating with meditating on Ras, Madhurya Ras, especially of Radha and Krishna, and entering there, experiencing it, tasting it, then trying to convey it and express it and share it with the sadhakas, us, then invariably you lose a sense of awareness because you're relishing so much ecstasy with a subject matter that you're not only describing, but you're taking part in it as you're describing it. It's like filming something that you're in. You're behind the camera taking a film and you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm there also. I'm moving in this drama, but I'm filming it also. So he's writing like this and he's filming it. His writing is his filming of Radha and Krishna's exchanges. But then he's right there. And he's feeling Radharani's ecstasy because he's a Manjari, Sri Rupa, the very personified form of Radharani. The form of Radharani's Mahabhav is beautiful, it's opulent, it's attractive, it's unique, only to Radharani, Madan Ras. This Sri Madan Ras of Sri Mati Radharani is fully blossomed in the heart of Sri Rupa Manjari. So therefore, one of the characteristics of the Manjaris is Bhav Tadatmaya. Tadatmaya means that Bhav, my Atma is one with that Bhav. Atma means mind, Atma means heart, soul, reality, me. Me is one with that Bhav. Whose Bhav? Radharani's Bhav, her Mahabhav. So this is the highest form of identification for the sadhaka in the Raghunuga Bhakti and Madhurya Ras, where he'll experience this actual Bhav Tadatmya in a true and genuine way and feeling rasa ecstasies at the level of bhava and prema. But even as an aspiring sadhaka, we are supposed to read the leelas of Radha and Krishna and absorb ourselves in our siddha sarup or spiritual identity, given, cherished, realized, dreamed, desired, drawn on paper, however you come up with your eternal spiritual form, if you have that intense desire, intense craving to be part of all that. And then you think, you're thinking, in any different pastime, what is Radharani feeling right now? Because in order, as we said, as a repeat, in order to serve someone properly, the best servant is one who loves me the most. One who loves me the most can serve, I mean true love, one who loves me the most can serve me the best. So no one can serve Krishna like Radharani because she loves him the most. So now we're the servants of Radharani. So we have to know the heart of Radharani. It's Bhav Tadatmya. On the high end, Bhav Tadatmya means this. When Radharani's happy, I'm happy. If Radharani's in Yavat and she sent me ahead of time to Radhakund to decorate, or rather Vishakasaki has sent me to Radhakund, to Madana Sukada Kunj, our Sakigan, our Sevakunj for Radharani. So then I go there under the order of the Guru Agya, Guru Saki Agya, Vishaka. I start decorating the Sanket Kunj for the meeting of Radha and Krishna. And I'm very happily decorating and putting Manjubhashini, the parrot, in the corner in his cage, and little table with some tambul and some scents and some sherbet, some sweet drinking water inside a clay pot, which has been on the rooftop all night, absorbing moon rays, so it's naturally cool and refreshing. Strawberry sherbet, like a fruit drink, you know, the syrup type drink, like they have in India. You know, you mix, what do you call it, sherbets or some other name in Hindi they say. I forget. Anyway, some drink. So the, like rust, so all these things. And then suddenly something happens where Jatila prevents Radharani. The whole plan has changed. Everything is red, everything's set. And Radharani is supposed to go out to meet Krishna in the morning. But somehow her mother-in-law, Jatila, blocks her. You can't go. You cannot leave. So now Radharani goes to her room and she starts crying. Actually, she hears that. She doesn't even meet with, stays far away from Jatila. So the Sakis tell Radharani how Jatila is feeling and that she can't go. And so Radharani starts crying. So the minute Radharani starts crying, then the Manjari, who's 25, 30 kilometers away in Radhakund, she starts crying. Because she's one with the feelings, emotions, heart, thoughts, desires of Radharani. So that's the perfectional stage that all the six Goswamis are outlining and describing in their books, pointing us in that direction. They live on that plane of Madhurya Rati and this Bhavalas Rati. And this is, so you take it back to the sadhaka's level, then he will have to be that absorbed in the heart of Radharani, but now he or she, now we read and say, oh, Radharani, I'm reading this. How are you feeling now? Because many times the books, they will describe Vilakusamanjali or Radharasudaniti. When will I do this service? When will I paint Radharani? When will I have an opportunity to paint Lakdai on your feet? And many, many sevas. But then the thinking, you know, I'm painting Radharani's feet. But then you have to think how to paint it in such a way to please Radharani, and how can I paint this in such a way that Krishna will please? Many, many things. You have to, there's a lot between the lines. So when you study with guru or shiksha gurus or teachers of this type of line of deeper meditation, they explain that not only we have to be familiar with tattva, this is all about Madhurya Ras, the truth, the tattvas, but we have to know the tattvas, then we have to know the leelas, then we have to practice by purity of mind and in our actual endeavor to start thinking like a Manjari thinks, feeling like a Manjari thinks, which means thinking like Radharani thinks and feeling like Radharani feels. So of course this is a very crippled and retarded attempt of the new sadhaka. We can hardly enter into our own thoughts. We can hardly enter into our own minds to decipher and understand what I'm really thinking or what I really want. What to speak of the difficulty of entering into another person's mind and heart. That's why relationships go on the rocks. You know, they crash. Because the inability to genuinely love the other person, be it friends, or, I mean, I'm implying more like lady and gentleman, husband and wife. Because the fact is that very few people in this world, although they're in human bodies, very few people have sufficient sensitivity to know what it means to love or be loved. So those few that have that, they're sitting here. They've taken guru, they've taken initiation in a bhakti, movements of bhakti. This is bhakti, devotion. So here in this first verse, that's a blessing from Purnamasi, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains this kind of an introduction. Before this, Radharani's condition. Why did Purnamasi give Radharani a blessing? And why did Radharani go to Purnamasi? Purnamasi is like the universal grandmother. Everyone knows that if you can't sort out your problems and your mother can't help you, and your friends can't help you, then grandmother, the wise grandmother, and the loving and kind, compassionate, soft-hearted grandmother is always the solution. Maybe grandfather, but the mother represents that karunya. So oftentimes the gopis, they turn to Purnamasi, because she's not only a great yogini and a great senior person, a Brahmin, but she's also the personification of the impossible. She's the walking, talking, gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. She's the walking, talking embodiment of the ability and power to make the impossible possible and the possible impossible. So this is a wonderful contrast of power. She's power. She's Yogamaya Shakti. I mean, all ladies have Shakti, no doubt. But it's called Mahamaya Shakti. But Purnamasi's power is Yogamaya. So Mahamaya puts us in the keeps us in the Maha Samudra of the Samsara. And Yogamaya, like it sounds, is that energy, maya, that power, energy, influence, which links us up, yoga, connects with the heart of Krishna, with the pastimes of Krishna, with the seva of Krishna. So this is it. So Purnamasi is this, she's this, you could say in modern terms, she's a tantrini, she's a tantric. She has all powers of everything. So Radharani went to her one day, very early on when she started falling in love with Krishna as a young girl at Purvarag. She says, Radha, this is Vishnu Chakravarti's tika on this verse number 5, which we have, 4, which we haven't read yet. Excuse me, tika on verse 5, which we haven't read, because this is a, precedes the actual verse in terms of sequence of time. Because what Purnamasi says in the verse is a follow-up response to what Radharani says, or Vishnu says, she says, in the commentary. So Radharani was filled with great longing to meet Krishna even before meeting him directly. This is called Purvarag. So then she respectfully met Purnamasi and revealed her mind. So here's Leela to illustrate the bhakti, the Upadeshamrita. The Upadeshamrita is another book by Rupa Goswami. He says that these are the exchanges of love between a devotee. Dadati pratigrinati bhunkte bo chayate cheva. This prichiti, guyati prichiti, says that we should, when we have some question or some doubts about siddhanta or doubts about our practices, our sadhana or siddhanta or tattva or the truths, just doubts about things and bhakti, then we go to someone and privately and confidentially we reveal our minds. Oh, can you help me, guide me or answer my question or remove my doubt about Krishna or Guru or whatever. And this is sharing of the minds. So there's the physical expressions of love between devotees by giving prasadam, receiving gifts, but also giving minds and hearts, and receiving minds and hearts. So this is the Karunya Pracharak. The Karunya Pracharak, that lady or that gent who takes on that role of mercy and takes on that role of helping and guiding others, then he or she is full of Karuna, so compassion for others. So they listen to them and guide them. So Purnamasi is that. She's the ultimate counselor. She's the ultimate marriage counselor. She's the ultimate psychologist. She's the ultimate wizard. She's the ultimate sorceress. She's the ultimate mystic. She's the ultimate. So she's the... And guess what? She's very favorable to Krishna and to Radharani and all the gopis. Because her only goal in life is to please Krishna, because she's Krishna's Swarup Shakti. Yogamaya is Krishna's Swarup Shakti. So here's little Radharani, little 14-year-old girl. She fell in love with a village cowherd boy. She's a cowherd girl. And she's a little shy. It's not a good idea to fall in love with somebody, especially if you're married. It's not clear whether she's married here or not, but since it's Purvarag, I would assume she's not even married yet. Or it could be she's married and this is her Purvarag for Krishna. It's also because extramarital love or parakeet love has to start somewhere. So it starts with a glance or with a few words or whatever, phone numbers or however it goes. And poor Varag grows and grows and goes and goes, and where it goes no one knows. So she goes to, Srimati Radharani, she meets with Purnamasi privately in her little leaf hut, as we see the translation sometimes, in her kacha kutir, her little leaf hut, which is right outside Purnamasi's gufa, and her house is right near the Nandagram, not far from Nandagram. Radharani meets privately in Purnamasi's little leaf hut, just some branches and leaves piled together, and she wears saffron. I've seen that she wears white, she wears saffron. I don't know. She's a yogini, she's a sannyasini. She's the grandmother, rather she's the mother of Sandipani Muni and grandmother of Nandimukhi and Madhumanga. And Nandimukhi and Madhumanga and Purnamasi, they all landed up here in Vrindavan. Of course, they're eternally in Vrindavan and they have an expanded form in Avanti, or Ujjain, I guess. Ujjain, where Krishna went to Gurukul and learned from Sandipani Muni. So everything is mutually inclusive. There's no, in spiritual matters and spiritual leelas or spiritual expansions, there's nothing exclusive. Everything is inclusive. Because that's the very definition of the word Vaikuntha. Generally, we're weaned, as they say, we're weaned on the idea that Vaikuntha means Vai without Kunta. And Kunta means anxiety. So they say, because that's the catchword for the material world, everyone is in some kind of anxious situation. There's some subtle, gross, or lingering anxiety everywhere. And no one can say they don't have anxiety, because every single one who is born is anxious about one thing. D-E-A-T-H. Marana. Hogya. Death. Goodbye. Haribo. So, I have money, I have everything, I'm not afraid of anything. I have my guns, I have my this, that. You're afraid of death? Oh, yeah. So we're anxious. So they generally say that's the definition. That's a good idea, and certainly it's true. Vaikuntha is free from anxiety. But the more important meaning, which we should understand, if we don't already, which is extremely important to apply to so many inconceivable conceptions of leelas and pastimes and expansions and who's who and he's he or he's who and he's Tungavidya and he's Tungavidya. Yeah, everyone's Tungavidya. Everything's mutually inclusive. Vrakreshwara Pandit has a form as Tungavidya Sakhi, one of the Ashtasakhis, and Ganadesh Deepika, Gorganadesh Deepika, is told that Prabodhananda Saraswati, the author of Radha Sudhanidhi, at least it's presented by many that way. The author of Radha Sudhanidhi, his Sakhi, eternal Sakhi form is also named Tungavidya. No problem. There's unlimited Krishnas, unlimited Radhas, there's unlimited groups of Astasakhis. So there's no exclusion, it's all inclusive. Everything is correct. If it meets the criterion of Siddhanta and Ras. If it's opposite, if it's Viruddha Siddhanta, or Upa Siddhanta, or Viruddha Siddhanta, or Upa Siddhanta, then, Rasavas or Viruddha Siddhanta, there's a verse in Antilila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sahite ne pare, Prabhu, Mane Krod. Rasa Vasa Sahitya Siddhanta Vivrud. If anyone, of course, first they have to go through Damodar, but if anyone presented some poetry, some philosophy, some tattva, some drama, some natya, like Lalita Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav, anything, to Lord Chaitanya, it had to meet two criterion. It could not be Viruddha Siddhanta. Virud means enemy. Virud. virod, a virod, against, opposition. It should not be against or wrong truth, a wrong philosophical truth, opposidanta, against. It should not be rasavas, wrong mixture of mellows. So therefore, we can use this standard of measurement to see what is correct and what is not. So Radharani, she meets with Purnamasi, and she says this. She bows down, Radharani bows down to Purnamasi. Purnamasi lifts up Radharani and warmly embraces her and treats her just like her own dear daughter. And then Radharani said, "Oh, I want to confess to you, Purnamasi, that my chastity has been destroyed. Because she indicates she will be married. So she's married to Abhimanyu, now she has fallen in love with another man. It's called Parikya, an additional person. And then she's confessing. And then Purnamasi says, "But listen, my dear, oh Sakhi, you should not regret this. You should not regret this. Because every single woman in Braj is affected in the same way. You're not alone. You're not the only one that's infatuated with this beautiful, dashing, dear elite hero named Shyam. Every girl in town is mad after him." and then she goes on to pacify her and encourage her more. Purnamasi says, "So, there's no fault in this." Now Purnamasi is preaching a dharma. She's preaching immorality, and her son is a guru, Sandipani Muni. She's considered the guru, because guru means senior, because she's senior, but she's a so wise person. So she's saying, "It's okay you're married to Abhimanyu, that's nice, but it's also okay you fell in love with another man. All the ladies feel like this. There's no fault in you. Your emotions should not be hidden from me. Listen. Krishna bewilders the hearts of his lovers by displaying the skills of dancing suitable for love in the corner of his eyes." So, Krishna, from the corners of his eyes are dancing. And in that dance, Krishna is sending a message to every gopi. "Oh, come with me. Let's enjoy. You'll enjoy me and I'll enjoy you. Come. That's all going on just for the dancing. Dancing means the movements of his eyes. He's standing at the town gate, and the gopis and Radharani are coming through the main gate of Nandagram at, say, 7 a.m. in the morning, roughly. Radharani's coming with all her sakis and mandris to cook Krishna's breakfast, nasta, bhoga for Narayan, and then Krishna takes the prasad of Narayan. So Krishna's standing there, leaning with his left hand on Subal's shoulder, and with his right hand, he's just twirling a lotus flower, looking at the clouds passing overhead, monsoon season, hearing the cuckoos and hearing the parrots above the trees, and the big entrance gate is there. And all that, they're just passing time. They milk the cows, they rested a little bit, and Krishna says, "Okay, listen, we have to take breakfast. Let's go down and chill out by the front gate. Let's go down and relax by the front gate and get some fresh air before we go in the palace." That's what he told the coward boys. But actually he was thinking, very soon Radharani and the Sakis will walk through this gate on their way up the hill to Nandabhavan, to my father's house, and she'll cook. So Krishna's thinking, now I can't wait to see Radharani. So Krishna runs out of the Goshala, quickly wrestles with his friends and says, "Come on, let's go to the front gate." And he hustles down to the front gate, means runs. And then he's there, just pretending to play and listen to the birds and make faces at the monkeys and whatever. Towards the monkeys. And then Radharani and the gopis come by, and it's everywhere told in the Bhagavatam, also in the Bhagavatam, that the ladies of Krishna's time, they covered their heads with some cloth some, I don't know, sari or whatever, some kind of gomana or whatever there's a name for, like a dupatta, some kind of, like this, some kind of scarf on their heads. And people might say, oh, that's not free, that's, we shouldn't cover our heads, it's more free. But actually, the other way around, the reason, first of all, is the culture, and it's the society since time immemorial. This is Radharani's dress, this is Krishna's dress, their dress is nitya. It's not a fashion. Like this year, short pants and kurta are in. Next year, long pants and kurta are out, or whatever. So you follow the fashions. So that's like chic and hip and cool. So that's the life of an ordinary person, or especially the ladies section. They have to do that. That's their nature, and that's good that they do that thing. So the so now people might think, oh, it's much more free, and I can just express myself. Why be restricted? But the gopis wearing this cover of their heads is extremely provocative, and it creates all kinds of coquettish situations. Because as I've seen living here in the Braj for so long, the newly married girls, they're still not so much settled on their new husband, many of them. So they have their heads covered. I had to do a little drama here. Had to get my prop. I don't know, I think I forgot. Oh, I got my prop. Just for the flies that land on my nose all the time. So you see my glasses, I always have something on my head. I'm not trying to look cool, it's just the flies land all over me, so I hide from them. So then the gopi is like, it's like this. So she walks through like, oh, I don't care about you. But then they go like this. So what do you think excites a man more? Just to look at him like, wow, you know, well, you're a handsome guy, beautiful beard, you're a good looking guy. You know, just look at him, wow, I want you. So that's clear. That's like clear. I want you. You want, okay, well, maybe, you know, he says get lost or yeah or whatever. So now that's one way. Now if the lady comes by and her head's covered and she goes like, I'm not, and then she goes like just looking a little bit, like they go like this, you know, with their fingers, they just so the man knows very much that she's looking at him from head to toe. How, oh, look at his beautiful curly wavy hair, look at his lotus eyes, look at his beautiful hips, and you know they're sizing him up perfectly, but under the covering of shyness. They do so many things with their veil. I mean, they go like this, and this whole, everything about the gopis is to increase the mahabhav of Krishna, Krishna's relish of mahabhav. So their clothes are serving mahabhav, their postures, their move, their gomana, their veil, everything. So it's not just I don't want to cover my head. So if we're actually identifying with that world and that realm, we don't have any compunction or any problem with covering our heads, because this is like Radharani. And then if I was a lady devotee, I would play around like that and just try to, because they wear these things, you know, many of them cover their head. So I would practice like that and say, well, what's Radharani? What's it like when Radharani goes like this, you know? I mean, because I've been sometimes in Apollo Hospital, and there's ladies there from Far East. I mean, what do you call it? Whatever it is, you know, Saudi Arabia and all that, and you know, from another religious group, and they're all like this, and they're all, and I'm sitting there chanting, dropping, and there's ladies looking. And she's like this, and then she's going. They're looking at you. Well, this is really mysterious, actually. Some ladies like this. So I can imagine that it's not, oh, their heads are covered, it's so boring, it's so hot. No, the gopis don't consider that it's hot or anything. They just consider this will increase Krishna's attraction to me. This will make Krishna more attractive. Just like what's more attractive to a man? A naked woman's body or a woman in a thin, very thin white cotton cloth that jumps in the Radhakund and comes out and stands on the bank? There's an obvious answer if you don't know. Ask any man. I say it's much more provocative and seductive. The woman is fully clothed but in very thin white. She has a full like a, all these different kind of dresses, almost like a house coat, like a lady's house coat, but maybe a little tighter fit. And it's very thin white cotton, and she has all the other clothing on. And she's totally wet and comes out. It's like, wow. So that's why Krishna, you know, he wants to, you know, what was he seeing when he stole the clothes from the gopis? They didn't have any clothes on. But when he's playing Jalkeli, that he's in bliss. After Jalkeli, Krishna will enter the kunjas and they'll relax, they'll take some fruits and snacks, get their energy, maybe get a little excited and, you know, take some nice nectar drinks, quote unquote, and then enjoy their amorous delights together. And so then everything is everywhere. But here, Radharani is fully clothed in a very chaste presentation, but wet. So therefore, this covering, this whole thing is very, very wonderful and very, very to anything like a lady, because men sadhakas that are in Mandri Bhav, they're meditating on all these things because they also have female form. But externally, they never dress like that and they never would or even think of it. But they meditate on all these things as part of their sadhana. But some devotee, it is in a female form, she can even actually enter into the whole thing because she's got all the clothes. And so if I was a lady devotee, rather than be a women's liberal, I'd not cover my head, I'm cool. I'd rather cover my head and really explore all the various possibilities of what it means and what is it like. That will be, that'll be anukulya to help that female sadhaka further identify with Radharani, and that is the perfection of sadhana. That is the perfection of sadhana, to identify men and women, to identify with Radharani's bhav and her heart and her service and her pleasure. So Radharani, she confesses, and then Purnamasi says, you should not regret this. And then she says this verse, because this is the preliminary. Then Rupa Goswami gives this verse. Purnamasi says, yes, you fell in love with this person, but it's okay, there's no fault of yours, because everyone in town has fallen in love with him. Any girl in this town, or even nearby, Nandagram, Barsali, Yavit, or what to speak of Kamai, or Tobaro, or Anjankot, or Chitsoli, or Unchagaon. There's so many Astasaki villages all around Radharani. Like, she's like the world of the lotus. The Varsana is like the center of the lotus. They call the world the center. Then all the petals around it. So in all directions around Radharani, the world of Radharani, the first, if you're coming from Radhakund, the first Saki Gaon you come to is Vishaka. Vishaka's Gaon on the right hand side, Kamai. And like this. So all the Sakis are situated in their Nitya Vas. And this is their birthplace. And they grew up there. And then, of course, they're married and they all move to Yavat to join Radharani. But they're all around there. So all of these girls from all the surrounding villages, they fell in love with Krishna. So Purnamasi says, listen, I know that Krishna you fell in love with. I've also seen him. And the beauty, and now Purnamasi, instead of, because Radharani went to Purnamasi to get some advice, I'm in trouble. I'm married and I've fallen in love with this beautiful blue coward boy. Can you please help me? She says, no, it's okay. Okay, all the ladies who fall in love, it's no fault. And then, now, rather than putting out that fire of Purva Rag that's burning in Radharani's heart, rather than stop this, this is immoral, you should not do this, rather than discouraging Radharani and putting out the fire, Purnamasi puts more wood on the fire so it burns even bigger by giving a very beautiful description of Krishna to bring, and by this description, because Nam Rup Gun Leela about Krishna or Katha is Krishna personified. So Radharani says, oh, I have a heartache, I'm married, but I just fall in love with Krishna, oh, Purnamasi, what to do? So that's okay. And then she speaks a verse which, boom, manifests Krishna right in front of Radharani's eyes. to give her even more encouragement. Yes, yes, go, go, faster, faster. It's like you're in your car or some madman's driving and he's going faster and faster, like one of these UP taxi drivers. Hey, slow down. I mean, always going to Delhi, it's really slow, and always coming back is like a wild mouse ride. It's really, whenever I would take a taxi to Delhi from Vrindavan, they try so slow, fall asleep the whole way there in the morning, and then they come back at 7 at night, and they drive like they're going to, you know, bat out of hell is what they say. So she says this. She gives a beautiful picture to Radharani to really inflame and really increase her love for Krishna, her Purva Rag. Purva means prior, beginning. Purva, beginning, prior attachment. Prior Rag means fervent, fervent, intense attraction and love, attachment, Rag. Padaduti vinirduta smara parardra rupodatir triganchala kalanati patimabir mano mohini spranava ganakriti parama divya lilaniti parama divya lilaniti kriyattava jagatrayi kriyattava jagatrayi yivati bhagya siddhir mudham. It's untouchable for my heart and mind, but certainly we can appreciate what beautiful Sanskrit this is being given here. The translation is better in this book than this one. Purnamasi says, the beauty and splendor of Sri Krishna's lotus feet has eclipsed many billions of cupids. That's a pretty big eclipse. Billions of Gandharvas and cupids are defeated just by the splendor, the radiance, the splendor of Krishna's lotus feet. So that's now. So this true to all true to all Puranic statements. When the Puranas or even the Upanishads describe meditation, the Savishesh meditation on Bhagavan, Bhagavan with a form, then they say you should start meditating on the feet of Vishnu, the lotus feet of Vishnu, and go up to his smiling face. But when Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, Rasikjan, Gaudiya Vaishnava Rasikjan, the great Chakravarti Pad, he describes in one beautiful small book of annotation called Rupa Chintamani, and Sri Rupa Chintamani, Rupa Dhyan, I think it's called Sri Rupa Dhyan Chintamani, the Chintamani of all meditations, which it means the form of Radha and Krishna. So there, when he's describing the Rup Dhyan, Krishna Rup Dhyan or Krishna Rup Dhyan, he says the same thing both to Radha and Krishna when he begins. Now, this is the first thing he says. Now we're going to teach you how to meditate on Radharani. Now, I want you to meditate. I want you to fix in your mind and fully concentrate and fix this in your mind now and forever. The beautiful, sweet, gentle, smiling face of Radharani. The beautiful, sweet, gentle, smiling face of Radharani. So there, meditation in the Raghunuga Bhakti, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Raghunuga Bhakti, begins with Radharani's smile. And ask yourself, when you stand and look at Radhasham Sundar or Radharaman or wherever, how much time do you spend looking at their feet and how much time do you spend looking at their faces? How about your wife or your whomever, your best, whoever that best is, whatever gender that best is or whoever that is? Do you spend a lot of time looking at their feet? Probably not, but certainly. So Krishna is so delectable and tasty. Krishna is tasty. Usually we taste with our tongue, but Krishna you can taste with the eyes or the ears. So Purnamasi, she's guiding Radharani. Okay, let's go, Radharani. I'm going to paint a picture of the one you fell in love with. With my words, I will paint a beautiful picture of the one you fell in love with. First of all, he has beautiful feet. Here it says toe luster. Here it says the beauty and splendor of Sri Krishna's lotus feet has eclipsed many billions of cupids. So that's his feet. Now we're from his feet. We've covered the feet, so we've met all the pranic niyamas about dhyan, and we followed all the rules and regulations of proper dhyan according to the parampara system. But now, true to the Gaudiya mood, after the feet comes the eyes. And this is not the way it's described in Vishnu Dhyan or in meditation on the forearm form of Vishnu for the yogis and that. They meditate on the feet and then the ankles. This is told in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how to meditate on Vishnu. Then the shanks, they call the shanks, means the calves or whatever. Then the knees, and then the thighs, and then the waist, and this and that. And finally the smile here, this, that. So here we started with the feet. Purnamasi says, his feet are splendors. The next thing she says, the artistic dancing of Krishna's sidelong glances charms the gopis' hearts. Krishna's form is like a glittering rain cloud. Krishna is an ocean of great transcendental pastimes. Shyam Sundar is the transcendental supreme, he is the supreme good fortune of all beautiful young girls in the three worlds. I pray that this Krishna will become the cause of great happiness in your heart. So Purnamasi was saying, I mean, Radharani went to Purnamasi to confess her indulgence in this sin of falling in love with another man besides her husband. Utpati bhav. And then she wants to get some solace and maybe some correction, some rebuke or chastisement. And when she goes to Purnamasi, her the universal grandmother of the gopis, Purnamasi doesn't slap her or rebuke her or chastise her. She pats her on the back and says, very good girl, very good. And then she says, I give you all blessings. First I'll describe how beautiful he is. And I give you all blessings that you'll feel great happiness by meeting him very soon. So this is the verse 5. And let's see. Tomorrow, because we have another class now, we'll finish. Well, there's a little more of the purport, but unfortunately I have to take a quick break here. Well, just a few phrases from Vishnu Chakravarti's Tika, and then we'll conclude this and begin Radharas Sudaniti. He's just giving more description. Basically, what the word for word about Ghanashyam is there. So he says, Krishna's form is like a new rain cloud, Ghanashyam. This describes his black color, which showers Maharas. The ordinary rain cloud, of course, pours rain. And that's called Ghana. Ghana means condensed, gun. Like we say, Ghanaras is sugarcane juice. It's like water, but it's thick. It's thick, so it's condensed. Ghana means condensed or concentrated. So cloud is a blue cloud. It's concentrated, packed up and filled with water. So Krishna's Ghanashyam. You have that song everyone knows, must have heard. Ghanashyam Radhe Radhe, Ghanashyam Radhe Radhe. It's a very rasic song. Nikunja Mevi Raje. Nikunja Mevi Raje means please come into the kunj. It's Radharani's song, I guess. Ghanashyam Radhe Radhe, Ghanashyam Radhe Radhe, Nikunja Mevi Raje. Viraje, like we say braj, braj means to move, viraje means come inside. So Krishna is his rain cloud, but he rains Maharas. And tonight is the night of the Maharas dance. The full moon night in Ashwin Maina. This is the last day of Ashwin. Then begins tomorrow tomorrow's Ekam, the first day of Kartik. And the Brat, of course, usually starts on the Purnima and ends on Purnima. Kartik Brat for many people. And some people start Ekadasi and some people start on Sankranti. The Bengali, they follow Soramas. Soramas means based on the movements of the sun. And the Chandramas is the moon. So North India, mostly people do Chandramas. Anyway, so Krishna showers his Maharas, his Madhurya Ras. His cloud is tinted by flashes of lightning in the form of his lover. So this is the analogy. It's all very commonly told. Radharani's like lightning, and Krishna's like the cloud. And then when they come together, it's a lot of noise. When the lightning hits the cloud, boom! And then showers, downpours, showers. So Krishna is just floating along, the cloud is just floating along. Oh, I'm so fat. I'm so blue and fat and happy and satisfied. And all of a sudden, the lightning strike, toom! Woo! Then, ow! You say, ow! If someone sticks you with a pin, you don't say, boom, you say, ow! But up there, somehow, by the time it gets down, maybe the cloud is saying, ow! Or, ouch! But by the time that sound echoes down here, it comes out, boom! No, when the lightning hits, it goes, boom! And the whole house shakes. I grew up on the East Coast in New Jersey, in America, by the ocean. Ocean Road is the name of the street. And with the tremendous hurricanes, they would sit right on top of the house. And we had this old wooden house. And because we had a bunch of trees all around, a big property. I go out in the morning, I see trees split in half, and lightning hits a tree and splits it and burns it. Powerful. So this is the beautiful analogy that Krishna is full of this rasa. But what makes that ras fall from the cloud? The lightning strike. So what makes that maharas fall from the cloud of Ghanashyam? The strike of Radharani's eyebrows. Radhakripa Kataksha. Those eyebrows are like lightning bolts. Toom! And Krishna melts in ecstasy. Dasosmi. So this is a very nice thing, that the cloud is tinted by flashes of lightning in the form of his leather. Golden Radha. This description also indicates that Krishna is the personification of Shringara Ras, since Shyam is the color of Madhur Ras. And Krishna is the perfection of good fortune. These are comments on the verse, actually. Krishna, because I could go line for line, which I'm skipping just now, I'm just reading the comment. These are comments on the individual padas or lines of this verse, number 5 of chapter 1, Ujjala Nilamani. Krishna Chakravarti Pad says that Krishna is an ocean of pastimes. It indicates Krishna's, because that's in the verse, it indicates Krishna's four extraordinary qualities in relationship with others. This indicates that though Krishna indulges in amorous pastimes, he remains faultless and respected by all, since he is beyond material energy. If it is the perfection of good fortune for young women all over the universe to fall in love with Krishna, I would like to have that good fortune also. That's our whole endeavor. We're trying to fall in love with Krishna. It starts there. Krishna gives happiness to all beings, and particularly gives happiness to young women. Though Krishna is the Vishaya for all the rasas, he's especially skillful at rasa lila, and no one in any other rasas but the gopis and Madhurya ras can actually display the qualities that satisfy Krishna. Thus, the conjugal ras of Radha and Krishna is established as the main element, angi, for all rasas. So all the other rasas are like, you can say, subsidiaries or lesser expressions of the complete whole. Angi means the complete whole. Angi and anga. Angi is my body and anga is my arms and legs, fingers, anguli, anga. So the angi, the complete form of Madhurya Ras is Krishna and Radharani together. And so all the other rasas, Vatsalya Ras has sweetness in it, has intimacy, many things, but not Yashoda doesn't give her body in the intimate exchange with Krishna, because she's the mother. So they say that the Madhurya Ras is like the earth. Everything is combined in the earth. All the fragrances and everything is there. So this is the end of his tika.